Hi everyone, and welcome to Redeemed and Refined, a podcast exploring how we become redeemed when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and how he refines us as his followers. My name is Henry Albois, and I am a passionate girl on fire for Jesus, and I just wanted to start this podcast just to share that love that I have for the Lord and for this to reach the people that God intends for it to reach, just to bring more people into the kingdom of God and for more people to understand and hear the greatest news that you will possibly ever receive in your life, and that is the gospel in literally Jesus' name. So today, I wanted to give my testimony and just talk about how Jesus has changed my life and a little bit about me before we hop into all of the topics that we'll be going over in this podcast. Again, this podcast is very Christ-centered. I pray that Holy Spirit just leads me throughout every conversation. And yeah, so we're going to start off with prayer. So if you're watching or listening, if you would bow and close your eyes if you're able. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I just say thank you for this opportunity to just start this ministry. Lord, I just say thank you and I praise you and give you the honor and the glory, because that is what this is for. Lord, I pray that you are just speaking through me, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will humble me. I pray that my words and my testimony is all one because of you, but I pray that it reaches the hearts that it needs to reach. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so like I said, my name is Henry Albois, and I'm actually a senior in college, and I'm 22 years old. So my testimony is a little, it's very similar to many people actually. So basically, Jesus really changed my life, but we're gonna start in the beginning. So I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with just my mom, and I grew up very Christian. We went to church every single day. I had to memorize, you know, different Bible verses and all that good stuff. But I think for me, since I was so young, and also I just didn't quite get it, like it just didn't click for me, you know. I knew that going to church was good and I knew Jesus was good, and for me I didn't really have a lot of doubts about God, but you know, there was some, like, what if I'm doing this all for nothing, and like, God forbid if I were to die, like, it was all just like for nothing and it actually isn't real. But I really struggled like with that when I was really young, but I didn't really talk about it because everyone in my family was Christian, and I think saying something like that would have been like not okay. That's how I felt. But I grew up very Christian, went to church every day or every Sunday, even on Thursdays when I was younger. And so I knew who Jesus was, but I wasn't really into it. For me, like, I wasn't excited to go to church to learn about Jesus, more of to see my friends, to get candy from kids' church and things like that, definitely for the wrong reasons. And so growing up, I grew up with just my mom. My mom is originally from Liberia, and she immigrated here in 2001, and she was pregnant with me, and then 9 months later she gave birth to me, and she really just is a rock star, honestly. And so I grew up without my dad, obviously, and that was a lot for me. Like, it was very, it caused me a lot of emotional trauma. Oh my goodness. So, sorry, my upstairs neighbors, but it caused me a lot of emotional trauma, and I remember being very young and not really understanding why my dad didn't want to be there. Like, when I was about, I think, 10 years old, my dad just, like, stopped calling, and I didn't hear from him for about 6 years, and that was a lot. And I remember just growing up, like, why God? Like, I don't understand. Like, I never quite understood why God put me in that situation of having to question why I wasn't good enough to be loved by my dad. And it was a lot growing up. And so I didn't talk to my dad, obviously, at this point. I was 10. And then flash forward to like 13, I hadn't talked to my dad in 3 years. And at that point, I just kind of shut it off. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to worry about this, any of that. And so I really just kept that all to myself. I didn't really talk about it with my family, my friends, just held it all in, which is not good at all. And it really was a lot for me mentally because I wasn't good at expressing my emotions, which is something I had to unlearn in my early adulthood, aka right now, because I'm only 22. But it was a lot for me mentally, and I didn't quite understand. And so flash forward a year later, I think I was about like 14, 15, I can't remember, but I was at church. And again, like, I'm still very much into, like, I'm going to church because my mom's making me go to church, my family goes to church. I'm at church because I want to see my friends, you know. That was my highlight of going to church, which is really sad saying that out loud. But thank God for sanctification. So I remember I got to church and I was about 14. And my cousin Joyce, I love her, shout out Joyce. But my cousin Joyce was like, oh my goodness, I really want to go to church camp. And in my head, I'm just thinking, church camp? Like, no. Like, I was just like, no, like, I really don't want to. And so Joyce goes and calls. She goes to our pastor, our youth pastor. And our youth pastor is like, oh my goodness, you girls want to go to church camp? Like, there's 3 people that are anonymous that gave donations for 3 kids to go to church camp for free. And so she immediately goes downstairs, calls up her parents, our moms. Our moms go up there, they're chatting it up with our pastor, and Joyce is like, oh my gosh, you're gonna go to church camp, Henry. And I'm just like, oh, church camp. You know, not really super excited. And I don't really know why I wasn't excited. Maybe because, like, again, I had that wrong motivation. I just remember not being excited. And so, I believe, flash forward, like, a month later, we are at church camp. And, you know, I'm not really, like, the first time, I'm just gonna, like, very standoffish, not really, like, I just wasn't really into it, like, the first service, I remember, and that really was a spiritual marker in my life, because as the week went on, God went to work. He went to work on me, and this is what really helped me to never doubt God ever again. And so I remember it was the last service, and the next morning we were gonna have like a morning service and then head back to the church. And so the service before we left, they had all of the pastors wash the feet of the children that came with them of their youth ministry. And I remember her name is Krista Harper, beautiful, wonderful woman of God. Her family changed my life. She gets to me, and as she's washing everyone's feet, like, I can tell that she's talking to them. And so she gets to me, and keep in mind, like I said, with all of my issues with my father, I didn't even talk to my own mom about it. I was very closed off, and I didn't want to speak about any of that. Like, I was very closed off as a kid. And so she comes to me and she is washing my feet, and then she lays her hands on me and she says, I still remember this, and she was like, I see a very tall man. I don't know who it is, but he's very tall. And at this point, I think I forgot to mention, I had never met my dad because my dad still lived in Liberia. And one thing that I was always told as a child is that your dad is so tall, that's why you're so tall. Like, that was always the distinguishing factor about my dad, is that he's just such a tall guy. And so I remember she lays her hands on me and she's like, I see a very tall man that has caused you a lot of pain. And God just wants you to know that you can let that all go because he is here for you. And I just remember, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but just like all the emotions just building up, because I was like, how does she know this? And then she continues on. She didn't just stop there. She continues on and she was like, God is also saying, I know that you are scared when you are alone at night, but I am watching over you and I am protecting you. And that was another thing. I never, like, when I was a child, like, I would stay home alone a lot because my mom was working, because she was a single mom doing her best. And when it would be nighttime, I would get very, very anxious, very scared. But again, I never told people that because at that point, I was like, I'm 14 years old. I shouldn't be scared of the dark, but I was just so scared. And so she says that too. And I was like, that confirmed everything. You know, like, the little seeds of doubt that I had completely went away. Like, after that day, I never questioned that God, Jesus existed, because I never told anyone that before. And I was like, wow. And I just remember crying because I was like, wow, like, God really loves me. Like, it's so insane. And I firmly believe the reason why I had to go to church camp was, one, for that experience, because now here I am years later sharing this story about literally how God truly is real. And it's not something that I would ever make up for clout or views or for people to believe in Jesus, but it's real. I never told anyone about my issues with my dad. I never told anyone about how I was so scared to be in the dark. The only way she knew that was if Jesus is real, and he is. And that truly proves it. So that happens, and I go home and I tell my mom. That was the first time I really talked to her about those things. And so, you would think, like, after that, okay, like, maybe I'll start, like, warming up, opening up to people. No, still very closed off. And so, after that, you know, still didn't really work through those issues of trauma. But, you know, like, now, like, I'm like, okay, God is, like, so good, like, he's amazing, but, like, very, like, on and off, you know. Some days, some months I'd be so, like, on fire for God, and then other days it was just like, whatever. Very on and off, very lukewarm type of faith. But the next year I did go to church camp and I was very excited. So, like I said, the next few years was very lukewarm for me. I truly believed in God, but I wasn't following him. So I would consider myself more of a believer at this point than a follower. And so then I got to college, and when I came to college, it was 2020 during the pandemic. So y'all know how that was. Very crazy time. And so I remember I was so excited to be in college, like, to have, like, newfound freedom and all these things. And so at this point I was like, yeah, like, I want to get involved in, like, a Bible study, things like that. And so I remember going to one campus ministry, and I went for, like, a few months, and then I kind of just stopped because it just wasn't really for me. And then I was very on and off with it, not very, like, you know. And so after my freshman year, it was absolutely miserable for me. I did not enjoy it at all. And I think it was really just because of COVID. Like, I wasn't really involved in anything. I didn't really make that many friends, and I just felt like I wanted to go back home. So I tried to transfer to a college back where I'm from, and I literally had everything set. Had everything set, guys. I had the paperwork, I was enrolled. The only thing I didn't do, I did not officially unenroll from the college I'm at now, because I was kind of like, well, one, I didn't know how to do it, so I just didn't do it. I just didn't sign up for any classes the next semester. And then I just enrolled in classes at this new college. And so I told all my friends goodbye, that I wasn't coming back. My mom knew that I was staying home and I was just gonna commute from like home to this new college. And so I remember, like, I remember I was, this is like summer of, I think, 21 or 22, I can't remember. Oh, it would have been 21, yeah. Summer of 21. So I am at this point just like, oh yeah, all in, like I'm leaving this place. And then one random day, I just felt such conviction and such like a feeling that I had to go back to the college that I'm enrolled in right now. And I just had this like crazy, like just and I didn't realize at the time, but it was conviction from the Holy Spirit, because that's, he wanted me here, not over there, because he knew that I had to be, he would have done what he needed to do with me at either school, but he knew, and he wanted me here. And so I remember just being like so nervous to tell like my family, because I'm really not the type of person, like if I say I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna go do it and I'm gonna give it my 100% and give it the best and my greatest effort. Like, I'm not the type of person that's gonna bail out or something, not at all. And so once I worked up the courage to tell my family, I re-enrolled, I guess, not even re-enrolled, I never dropped out of the college. I signed up for classes and it was completely easy. I'm telling you, this was like midsummer and all of the courses that I needed to take, like I got it in with such ease. I didn't have any issues at all. I got the exact dorm that I wanted with my friends. I just got a random roommate and it was just like so easy. And that's how you know it's literally what God wanted, because it was so easy. Got the dorm, got the classes I needed, everything, easy peasy. And yeah, it was just very obvious, like, this is from the Lord, because there was no pushback at all. And so also another thing, if I'd continued my education at this new college, I probably would have gotten into debt. And so thank God, like, he brought me back here. I'm about to graduate without any loans or any debt, and that's literally all Jesus. So anyway, besides the point, so I come back to this college and I'm like really excited, because I'm like, okay, like I've got my vaccines, like, you know, they're about to start lifting up all the bans. And so I'm like, okay, now I'm finally gonna get my college experience, and so I'm definitely gonna get more into this another time. But for me, like, I definitely didn't, I found myself surrounded with people who weren't firm in their faith, and it definitely started to influence the way that I live my life. And it just wasn't Christ-like at all. I wasn't really talking to God, I wasn't really praying to the Lord, and I was just a very typical college student, but not a follower of Christ at all. But I believed, but I didn't follow him at all, and my actions and the way that I lived showed that. And what really convicted me to change all of that was actually one of my close friends that I have now, Savannah. I met her during my sophomore year, and I don't even know how we got into the conversation, but I said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and she was like, oh really? And I remember, I don't remember if it was the same night or the next day or what, but Savannah said, yeah, I only knew you were a Christian because of your lock screen, because at the time my lock screen said God is good. And I think that's how we had gotten onto the conversation, oh, I'm Christian, blah, blah, blah. And she said, yeah, I only knew you were Christian because of your lock screen. And when she said that, like, it just really stopped me in my tracks, you know, because Savannah really meant no harm with it, because I talked to her about it, like, later on, like, I think, like, a year later. Shout out, Savannah, if you're watching this. but I just remember thinking, like, why doesn't my life look like a follower of Christ, you know? My life should reflect that. And why am I living in a way that doesn't? And so I remember just like thinking about that, and we had gotten into the summer. So at this point, this is my sophomore year, and then I was going into my junior year. So the summer before my junior year, so summer of 22, I believe. I was just I was dealing with a lot mentally. And again, I was just dealing it with my own, by myself, not talking to anyone, just like, I got it. And I was in the worst mental state I think I've ever been in my entire life. And, you know, not talking to anyone about it really made it worse. And so I just remember one night in the middle of the summer, because I literally felt like my life was falling apart. I remember and I felt so far from the Lord because I wasn't talking to Him and I was completely doing things my way, which I would never recommend because it's never good or fun. And I remember just calling out to God as I'm crying my heart out in my bed in the middle of the night. Crying out to the Lord, and I hadn't done that in months, and Him just being there. And I don't even know how to describe it, but just a peace that surpasses all understanding. As I was crying out to the Lord, He was there for me, and He was with me. And in that moment, I realized what true love felt like. That to have someone that would be there for me, to love me and to comfort me, despite me mistreating our relationship, not talking to the Lord, not praying to Him, not going to church, doing my own thing, not following the life that He called me to live when I accepted Him into my heart. Just very disobedient, and yet He was still there for me. And that was another spiritual marker in my life. And that was really when I dedicated my life to following Jesus. And so the rest of the summer, definitely it got better because I was back talking to the Lord. And I came back and it was my junior year. And I just remember just being on fire for God. My junior year, it was just absolutely amazing. Like, the Lord, He saved me. Like, I don't know how else to express that, but He saved my life. And I remember my junior year, I was like, okay, I'm going to be serious about this, and there's no more lukewarm in this home, in this temple, in this body. I'm no longer going to be a lukewarm Christian. And so I, with my roommate, we both wanted to find a church, which is amazing. All my roommates were Christian. We were all friends prior. And so me and my roommate, we went church hopping, or more of like a field trip. That's what one of my friends called it. Because we only went to two churches, so it wasn't even really church hopping. So we went to the first church, and it's called Hillview Heights. And I just remember going there, and one of the first things that they do right after worship is they have baptism. And I just remember, like, watching the baptism, just this random person get baptized, and just being so overcome by, like, just emotions. And I was, like, crying in the middle of the church service. Like, I wasn't, like, boohoo crying, but, you know, I was very, like, emotional. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And I just really loved the church. And then we went to another church, and I didn't really like it. And so we went back to Hillview because we both really liked it. So we'd been going to Hillview for a couple months. And so my roommate was like, oh, we should go to the university because they have a university ministry within the church. So we started going to the university Bible study. And I was like, okay. All right. And so I think this is like December. Yes, December of 2022. Yes, this is December of 2022. And I remember looking on the church website and it said that they had one-on-one discipleship. And I didn't even know what discipleship was, but I knew that I wanted it because I just wanted to become closer to the Lord, guys. Like, I was just so passionate about learning more about Jesus, learning more about who he is. Because again, like at this point, like I still haven't even read my Bible because I didn't understand. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to read it. Like, I was just like, no. But I was like praying and things like that. Like, I was trying. And so I was like, I want to do this. Like, and so the church, they matched me up with this girl. Her name is Kelsey, and she's my discipler, who I absolutely adore and love and truly is God's blessing in my life. One of them, because he's blessed me with so many people and so many things. I can't go on and on enough about that. But we match up with Kelsey and she becomes my discipler, and she really helped me with my walk with the Lord. She held me accountable when, like, especially the beginning phases of, like, getting back in my, like, walk with the Lord. So she would hold me accountable for, like, going to church, and she would help me memorize verses, and she still is my discipler, and she helped me learn how to study the Bible, which was a game changer for me. Absolutely game changer. And I'm probably gonna have a whole episode about how to read the Bible, why it's important, because that book will change your life. But so we did all that, and it really changed my walk with the Lord, I'm not gonna lie. And so after that, flash forward to January, I started a fast for the Lord, and I fasted secular music, and I fasted secular music, and that was crazy. That really opened my eyes to how, like, the music industry is just crazy. So I completed my first fast, and I was also doing discipleship, and so I was really like, oh yeah, I'm totally all in for this God thing. And so then my church, university church ministry, they said that they were going to go on a mission trip during our spring break. And so I remember when I heard about it, I was like, I think I should do this. And so I signed up for it. And so the funny thing is, the closer and closer and closer we got to the mission trip, I actually wasn't excited, like, at all. Like, I remember at that point, I was like, oh my goodness, like, I kind of regret doing this. Like, all my friends are, like, going on fun trips to Florida, and I'm, like, going on a mission trip. And that sounds so terrible, but I'm going to be honest and real. And now looking back, I truly believe that was just, like, spiritual warfare and me, like, fighting my flesh and my fleshly desires and also my spirit. And so, I just remember just being so conflicted. Like, I knew that this is what God wanted me to do, but at the same time, I was like, man, like, I wish I was going on a fun spring break trip with my friends. And so, it's the week before the mission trip. And oh my goodness, the devil did not want me to go on that mission trip, y'all. Not at all. So, I remember the first day, it was the Monday. We were supposed to leave on Friday, or was it Saturday? No, it was Saturday. We're leaving for the mission trip on Saturday, and today is Monday. So Monday, I'm in discipleship, and I was so down, guys. Like, I was so down. My mental state was terrible. I was just dealing with a lot of anxiety, and oh my goodness, it was just awful. And so I'm in discipleship, and the topic of just depression and anxiety just keeps coming up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I wish she would stop talking about this. And so she asked me when the last time I was depressed, and I just start crying. Like, I literally just start crying, and I don't do that. Like, I don't really break down in tears in front of people. So that's how you know I was not doing well. And so I just start crying, and I'm like, confessing, I'm like, I feel so terrible. Like, I know I'm supposed to be going on this mission trip, and I'm not excited, and I don't know why, and just going on and on and on. And she's like, Henry, like, after, like, I calmed down, she's like, Henry, like, I truly feel like this is spiritual warfare, because you are because she had also gone on the same mission trip when she was in college, and she was like, this trip truly changed my life, and I feel like because you are about to go and spread the gospel to other people, the devil is attacking you. And I was like, oh my goodness, you are right. You are totally right. And so, sorry, a little break. And so, after that, after I come to that realization, I was like, praise God, like, for that revelation. And I was doing great. Like, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go for this mission trip. I'm so excited. I'm ready. And then the next day, I was sick. So sick to the point I could not go to class. I could not eat. I could not drive. I couldn't do anything. And for 3 days, I was in bed sick. And I was like, oh my goodness. And when I get sick, like, it usually lasts like a week and a half. Like, I'm not really, oh, I'm sick one day and then a few days later I'm good. That does not happen. And so my pastor, he was going around texting everyone that was going on the mission trip, and he asked us like what he could be praying for. And I was like, please pray for me and my health because I'm super sick. And I remember lying in bed and I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to go on this mission trip. Like, I literally don't know how I'm supposed to go. Because when I say I was sick, like, guys, I was in my bed for 3 days. I had a fever. I was, oh, it was terrible. And so, thank God, it was Friday, so the day before the mission trip, my fever breaks and I feel great, which is, I truly believe that was just supernatural strength because I felt great and good and awesome. I went to class, and at this point I haven't even packed yet. So I get to class, everything's good. And then I get home and I start feeling very, very sick again, and I start throwing up like crazy, and I'm in so much pain, like my stomach, like I'm in so much pain, like I'm literally doubled over. And my roommate that's going on the mission trip, the same roommate that we go to the same church together, she comes into my room and she was like, Henry, you look terrible. And I'm like, I know. And I remember just being with her. I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. Like, I'm not even packed. I'm not even ready to go. And we're literally leaving tomorrow morning for Florida for 8 hours in a car. And so I pack all my stuff, I say a prayer, and literally the next morning I was completely fine. No fever, no sickness, no nothing. And throughout the entire 8 hour car ride, like, I was good. Like, it was literally God. And so we get to the first night, and I just remember being like, oh my goodness, like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I felt like such a fraud. Like, I don't, like, I still bought into this lie that there are good Christians and there are bad Christians, you know. And I was a bad Christian, you know, that's how I felt, you know, my flesh and also the enemy. And I just remember the first night just being so discouraged, and I texted my discipler, and I was like, I just feel like such a fraud. Like, I feel like I don't belong. I feel like I'm not supposed to be here. And I texted one of my close friends, Tyler. I was like, Tyler, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like such a phony because I'm looking at the spring breakers, the purpose of the mission trip. We went to PCB, and our purpose was to spread the gospel to other college students who were there for spring break. So we were called beach reachers and they were called spring breakers. And so I remember like looking at the spring breakers and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're having so much fun. Like, I wish like I was doing that. And then also I felt so convicted because I was like, that's not what I'm here for. That's not what God has called me to be. And so I just felt so conflicted, and just like, I literally felt like my flesh and my spirit was just going at each other that week. And so my best friend, one of my best friends, Tyler, he had said, Henry, you are there for a reason. God has you there for a reason. And my disciple Kelsey had also sent me like encouraging messages. And so the second night, it was raining, and so we had street teams, and then we also had people in the van. So if you were in the van, the purpose, the way that we spread the gospel, was offering free van rides to people and all you had to do was call the number, and then people would just give Spring Breakers free rides around PCB, and while they were in the car, we would spread the gospel. We would hold conversations with them, tell them about Jesus. If they didn't want to hear about it, they were very off about it, okay, we're not going to do anything else. If they weren't interested, we'd tell them, and I think we saw over 100 people give their life to Christ, and we had like over 3,000 gospel conversations. Like, it was amazing. Like, God really moved. And so anyway, if you were in the van, that's what you're doing. If you're on the street team, you were out on the street and talking to people, things like that. Like talking to people like in the lines, if they were by themselves, like, hey, what's up? Spread the gospel, things like that. And so I remember, I believe I was supposed to be on the street team that night, but it was raining, and so they were like, instead of doing that, the first half you're gonna spend 2 hours in a prayer room. And I remember just being like, 2 hours in a prayer room? Because I'd never done that before. I'd never just sat down and prayed to God for more than 30 minutes, nonetheless 2 hours. And so I just remember being like, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to do this? And when I say, change my life, I was in the van room, or in the prayer room, and I just felt so overcome with his presence. And again, it's just one of those things, like, I can't describe it other than just unimaginable peace, like something you literally can't describe. And that's Jesus, and just a sense of comfort and love. And I just remember emotional, crying, pouring my heart out to him. And then I felt ready. And so after that 2 hours, we were able to switch. So people that were in the vans went to the prayer room. People that were in the prayer room went to the vans. And that night I was like, okay, let's do this. And so as the week went on, God really worked on me. And he opened my eyes and he showed me that, you know, having the college experience and all those other things that are not of God really is not worth it. And that experience changed my life. It helped me become so bold in my faith and be able to share the gospel with random strangers. Like, oh my goodness, like, that's gonna change your walk with the Lord. And just like having those amazing conversations and seeing how the name of Jesus literally transformed people's lives right in front of me. It's insane. It was amazing. And so after we came back from the trip, like, I was truly a different person. A truly different person in my walk with the Lord. Thank God. And just like even more on fire for the Lord. And so I remember, flash forward to the summertime, and I'm with my friends from my hometown at my job. Every year, all me and my friends, we work at an amusement park. And this is summer 23, so last summer. And one of my friends, she's talking to me, and I don't even know what I said, but she said, Henry, had Jesus really changed you? And I don't know if she meant that. Like, knowing her, she definitely didn't mean it in a bad way. But, like, her saying that, I was like, yeah, he really did. And it brought me so much joy, because it was like, wow, I'm glad that I'm at the point where people see Jesus in me. Because that's where I want to be. That's the type of person I want to be. I want, when people see me, they see Jesus. I want, when I talk, they hear Jesus. And that literally, like, because that's all I talk about nowadays is Jesus. And so when she said that, I was like, praise God for sanctification. Because just a year ago, someone didn't know that I was a Christian. And they only knew I was a Christian because of my lock screen. And now the way that I conduct and live my life, it's evident that Jesus lives within me. And I was like, praise God. And so, I came back, flash forward to, this is August, just a few months ago. I come back in church, and during the mission trip, I realized I really, really wanted to get involved in the youth ministry because I'm going to be a high school English teacher because that is what the Lord wants me to do, and I really wanted to get involved with that. So I stopped going to our Bible because, I stopped going to our Bible ministry, our college ministry. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. So in August, I come back, and one of the girls, because I used to be a track coach, one of the girls that I coached track, I began discipling her. The cycle continues. Makes me so happy. I started discipling her. So I was getting very, involved, with a lot of, things of God, which is amazing. It made me so happy. And so then I started doing the youth ministry, and I'm a Bible study leader every Sunday with our youth ministry girls, and I work with 10th and 11th grade girls alongside of this wonderful woman named Beth. So sweet, and it's just awesome. And so we lead discussions with 10th and 11th grade girls, and so at this point I'm like, oh my goodness, God is really going crazy in my life. He's really refining me, we see all the changes. And so I'm honestly doing really well. My mental state is much better than it's ever been, and so I'm just oh my goodness, I really don't I don't know what else he's gonna do in my life. And so last semester, so this is the August to December, I really want to start a Bible study, and I also want to start a podcast. But I was I don't know about that. And God is really just refining me in January. Oh my goodness. Guys, I was a wreck in January, just mentally. But he refined me and he did his thing. And so in January, the end of it, I started the Bible study. And I was God, you do your thing. And he did his thing. We started off with just four girls. And recently we had, yesterday, we had 11 people come to the Bible study, I believe. Yeah, I think it was 11. But yeah, it was amazing. And it was just so awesome. And so I was wow. And so anyway, so in January I had started this Bible study, and it truly is the most wonderful thing God has given me to be able to be a part of a community of just strong believers and people who are just passionate and just want to know more about Jesus. It's just been so amazing and touching. And so seeing week by week how it was growing, I was oh my goodness, I would love to start this podcast. And so I did. And so thank God. And so I started this podcast, and this is where we are right now. And so I think it was yesterday, I just woke up and I was just so happy. I just remember just being so happy and content and just so full of life. And I just thank God just for all the trials and all the tribulations that he put me through to get me to this point. Because I never would have thought I would be sitting here recording a podcast about Jesus. This is crazy. It's just insane. But that's who he is. He is the refiner. And he is our redeemer. And I praise God that he redeemed me and he continues to refine me. So that's a little snippet of my story. I didn't want this to be super, super long, but just to give you a little bit of who I am. And again, this podcast is for people who want to grow in their faith, people who are new to the faith, people who don't know anything about the faith. This is just very Christ-centered and just very Jesus-heavy. And the name of Jesus will completely change your life. Again, I think for me, what I want to talk about, just how the trials that we go through in as Christians and how the Lord works through that, but maybe God has got something else planned, so we'll see. But yeah, welcome to Redeemed and Refined, and thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy as much as I'm so excited to continue. Sorry if this is a little rough. This is my first time creating a podcast, so. But thank you, Father, just for this opportunity to be able to reach more people and to spread your word and your gospel, Father. Yeah. But thank you all for listening. I'm praying for you all. And yeah, goodbye.